I'm going to jump right to it. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians as we're still talking about sanctification. Reason being is, I love last week's service. How many of you were blessed by last week's service? Yes? Okay, good. And a lot of people had a lot of more questions about sanctification and some interesting one than that. So I felt, man, we're not done with this subject yet. If you weren't here, we're talking about sanctification. And sanctification simply means the process of change that occurs when the Holy Spirit enters your life. And the process of change is becoming more and more like Christ. And as we were talking about that, so many of us were challenged to truly be sanctified, that it is God's will that we would stand up and be like Christ in such a way that people literally feel like they just had an encounter with Him because they had an encounter with you. So it was truly amazing. I was truly blessed. I went home and I started really reading everything about it, looking over the sermon, and there was one important thing that popped out. I didn't get it at first, and I never do, and I started looking into it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9 through 11. Let me read this to you. As we're going back to the same story of last week, "Now about brotherly love, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other." Amen? Yeah, that's a tough one. "In fact, you do love all brothers throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more." This is one that we're going to love. It's one of our favorite verses at Forward Fellowship, believe it or not. "Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and to mind your own business." Amen? Oh, yeah. How many of you feel like you need to tell that to somebody today? Yeah? In fact, stand up to your feet where you're at. Come on. Let's have some fun this morning. It's church. Come on, guys. Look at that person next to you. And you tell them right in the face, "I am who I am, so mind your business." Go ahead, go crazy. All right, let's sit down where we're at. Doesn't it feel good to tell that to somebody? Yeah? Let me tell you that that's exactly what Paul was telling these people. What confused me was, when it's talking about sanctification, it's talking about being like Jesus, I understand that Paul's saying avoid sin, love each other. We all get that. We're like, sure, that's obviously the godly thing to do. But in the very end of this letter, he says with boldness, he says with authority, mind your business. Mind your business. In fact, make it an ambition, a desire to mind your own business. Let's be honest here. How many of you struggle in the area of minding your own business? Show me your hands. Up high. We're all ashamed. We all do. It's crazy how we love to be involved in other people's life and other people's gossip and other people's mess. And we just don't understand what's happening. And, oh, I want to know. And, oh, you don't know. Oh, you know, and we're just so involved in other people's lives. And we love it. Why? Because for some reason, being involved in someone else's life is an escape from our pitiful life. So we're able to say, I'm glad I'm not them. Amen? Admit it to yourself. We all struggle with minding your own business. In fact, why did Paul say this? It's so interesting why Paul wrote this. Because the people have forgotten to be sanctified. They were not changing. They were becoming more and more like the world rather than more and more like Christ. But isn't it interesting that Paul tells them, mind your own business? The problem that the people had was they were so concerned about other people's lives. They were so concerned about the world around them. They were so focused of that other person that they forgot about themselves. Today, I want to speak to you on the subject of comparison. If you're not minding your business, it's because you are comparing yourself to other people. A person that is involved in someone else's life and in someone else's gossip, in someone else's business, is comparing themselves. And what Paul was saying to the people here is you're so concerned about those other people around you that you're not as concerned with yourself. And the real problem here is not them. It's you. But you're investing so much time consumed with other people around you, consumed by what's going on around you in this world, that you have forgotten about your own spiritual life. And I got to tell you, it's so easy to point out other people's spiritual flaws, but we forget ours. Amen? It's so easy to point out other people's mistake and what they should have done and how they should be, but then we forget about how we should be. The problem in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9 through 11, is that Paul was noticing that the people were so concerned about other things and not their own life. They ignored their own spiritual growth and were concerned about other people. And Paul was pretty upset when he wrote this letter saying, mind your business. Drawing comparison is very dangerous. When you begin to compare yourself to other people and other lives and other things, it can really hinder your spiritual walk with the Lord. And that's what I'm going to be sharing with you this morning. Just last week, as Newsweek's new article came out, I was reading it, and there was a special article that said, the world, in a matter of days, would experience economic fallout. The world would fall apart and be destroyed in a matter of days if one thing happens. And I was so interested. I said, well, what's that one thing that if happens, the whole world would fall apart? So I started reading this article. You guys want to know what that one thing is? Me too. Listen, it says this. If all of a sudden, 100% of people in the world today were 100% happy with who they were and were 100% happy with their life, the world would suffer economically and be destroyed. Interesting, right? Because if someone is so happy with their life, and if someone is so consumed and say, I'm happy with who I am, I love who I am, then there's no need for all this plastic surgery. There's no need to impress other people. There's no need to live in homes that we can't afford. There's no need to drive expensive cars that we don't know how we're going to pay. There's no need for fancy clothes to impress other people and make them be, oh, look at me. If everyone was 100% satisfied with their life, the world would fall apart. Businesses would shut down. Because we live in the world that thrives on comparison. And if this person has it, I need to have it. And if they look like this, I need to look like that. And so many young people are just spending so much time trying to be someone they're not. And so many people are just investing in so much to be something they're not because they're not happy with who they are. And those here today or listening online would agree that there's something in your life that you would say, if this were different, and if this were like that person, and if I were like them, and if I looked like them, and if I owned what they had, and if I was as spiritual as that person, then maybe I could be happy. Maybe I would have a reason to smile. When you begin to live a life of comparison, constantly looking at other people's lives and not your own, it can damage your emotion, it can damage your physical life, and it can damage your spiritual life. There was a man who loved his life. He was happy, he was content. He had a great marriage, a great wife, he had nice children. He had a decent job. He was thankful that all of a sudden he was thankful that at least I can pay my rent. I have food on the table, clothes on my back. My life is good. But then came the 20-year reunion. And as this man went to his high school reunion and started talking to all his other old friends, and they started telling him what they have accomplished, and what corporate ladder they were climbing, and what house they lived in. And that father would tell him, would be bragging about his children and what university they were going to. And he began to hear more and more about other people's lives. And then he started looking at other people's spouse, and he would look at other people's wives, and he would begin to look at his wife. Don't ever do this, but he would begin to look at his wife, look at other people's wives, and wonder, why is my wife not as pretty as his? And when he got home, he was miserable. He was angry. And he hated himself and life. Why? Because he was perfectly content where he was. But as soon as he took the focus of where he was at into someone else's life, he began to draw comparison. And that made him realize that he was not where he should have been. And he started comparing himself to other marriages and other children and other lives and other careers. And he would look at himself and he actually felt like something was wrong with him. He began to tell his wife, you need to be more like this person. I need a better job. He began to tell his children and criticize them and control them and saying, you need to be more this and more that, because he was drawing a comparison. Some of you are miserable. Maybe you're angry. Maybe you're looking at your life and you have lost joy because you are comparing it to something you're not. You are looking at it through another lens that's not yours. You're looking at someone else's life and you think you deserve that. You look at someone else's blessing and think that should be mine. You look at someone else's marriage, that should be my marriage. That should be my children. That should be my career. And when you begin to draw comparison, you forget what God is doing in your life. Comparison will slow down your spiritual walk. You ever notice in the Palmetto, when it's bumper to bumper, like every day, every minute? Something that I don't understand. When we're driving in the Palmetto, there comes a point where traffic stops. And you think, man, that accident must be so bad. And you're thinking, oh, someone has to be dead. And you're thinking about that. And as we drive by that accident, you notice that the accident is on the other side of the road. And it's divided by this wall. But why is there traffic on your side? Because we can't mind our business, right? And we need to slow down. And we need to look over and say, ooh. And you start calling your friend. And you start slowing down. And you can care less about anyone around you, right? And all of a sudden you realize, this happened to, I'm teaching this because it happened to me the other day. I was nosy. And I didn't realize that just ahead of me was this wide open road. And I was going 10 miles an hour. Why? Because I was so busy in someone else's crash that I was missing out on what was ahead of me. And I started thinking, Lord, a lot of us are living like this. We are so consumed with someone else's life that it slowed down. And it has prevented me from seeing what's ahead for me. God has such an open road for your life ahead. But if you're so busy drawing comparison and looking at someone else, it's going to slow down what God is doing in your life. It is not till you realize that you are who you are and God has designed you for a specific purpose. God never made you to be like someone else. God has created you for something different. But so many of us get so discouraged because we look at someone else's life and say, Lord, why can't I be like that? Lord, why can't I have that? And it will affect your spiritual life. Let me tell you that one thing I don't understand when it comes to comparison. The single person looks at the married person and says, I wish I were them. The married person looks at the single person and says, I wish I were you. I don't understand that. We look at our spouse and you have the nerve to compare them to someone else. If you're single and you're here looking at these happy-go-lucky couples kissing, whatever, listen to me. Your time will come. Stop comparing and start saying there's something wrong with me because I'm this age and I haven't gotten married or I'm still single. Listen to me. God has him or her for you. But his timing in your life is not going to be that other person's timing. So when that phone rings and that person brags about the person they just met, let it go. Don't tell God, God, what's wrong? Why can't it be me? Some of you, comparison draws to your children and your home life. You begin to look at your child and you hear other parents brag about theirs. And you begin to say, Lord, what's wrong with my kids? You know what happens when you start comparing your kids to other kids? You don't enjoy them enough because you feel like there's something wrong with them. And this is happening more and more every day. Maybe comparison is drawn to yourself. You're looking at someone else's life. You want what they have. You want that joy that they're experiencing. You want to drive what they're driving. You want to live where they're living. You want to have everything that they have. It's really difficult to look at yourself and enjoy who you are when your mind is focused on someone else's business. And all you're thinking of is them. Many of you, your life standards are based on another person. And God never designed for you to be that way. For other people, what I've noticed is comparison can go into your spiritual life. This breaks my heart. When a person comes to Christ for the first time, they're so full of joy, they're so full of life, and they're so happy. They begin to read their Bible and come to church, and you're just so excited. But something happens down the line as years go by that they begin to look at other Christian people. And they look at that person that's been in the faith for 40 years, and they say, well, I don't know the Bible like they know the Bible, and I don't know as many verses as they know. And all of a sudden, they begin to feel bad about their own spiritual life. And they begin to lose focus and recognize that they also are in Christ. And you begin to look and you say, well, I used to be happy that I knew 5 verses by memory, but I met someone that knows 30, and I'm a failure. I used to be happy because I went to church only on Sundays, but I just met someone that says they go Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, so there's something wrong with me. You see, a lot of us think that everyone has to be equally spiritual. We all have to have the same standard. We all have to know the same verses. We all have to know and have the same knowledge. But everyone with sanctification, let me explain to you, the process is different for each and every one of us. One person will not grow as fast as another. Your husband will not change as quick as you want him to, ladies. Amen? Your children will not be at the level you want them to be when you want them to be. But when you start comparing, and you start looking, and you start comparing some more, you begin to lose joy and lose sight of where you're at. Many of you have lost the joy of knowing Christ because you're too busy looking at someone else's relationship with Christ. You have to embrace where you are now. And thank God it's not where you used to be. A lot of people will come up to me and say, man, God must really love you. And like, what, not you? Oh, no, yeah, I know he does, but you, I mean, you're a pastor of a church. And you know your Bible. And I'm like, so? Do you not realize that God has the same love for you as he does for me? That doesn't change with God. Don't compare anyone to yourself. You have to tell God, Lord, I need to mind my business and be where I'm at spiritually with you. Let me stab you for a minute. You need to stop looking at other people's spiritual life and criticizing them. Amen? Oh, come on, like you mean it. Listen to me. A lot of us are so concerned with other people's spiritual growth that you have convinced yourself that you are the Holy Spirit. You're the Holy Spirit Junior. Obviously, God, you know, Holy Spirit Junior says, God, obviously you haven't corrected this person, so let me go correct them. If you're not God or a pastor, don't be concerned with other people's spiritual walk, okay? This is going to be hard for you to swallow. But you may look at your spouse, and maybe you're more spiritual than they are. But some of you need to thank God that your husband is in a church. Amen? Some of you need to look at church children and say, at least they own a Bible. Listen, we're so concerned with other people's spiritual walk that we ignore ours. And we have taken the role of other people's lives spiritually with the Lord. And there's nothing wrong with correcting someone saying, yo, you should, but you know what I'm talking about. Some of you get offended and some of you allow your day to be ruined because of what someone else is doing in their spiritual walk with God that has nothing to do with you. Amen? And some of you are so wrapped up in other people's marriage and other people's walk with the Lord and other people's career and you're just looking at their life and you forgot yours. I'll never forget a time where I was working in this church. And after the church service, a lot of us made plans to go out to dinner. And as we were going out to dinner, I was making my way into the car, into the parking lot, and there was one pastor there. Not a pastor, he was studying to be a pastor, but he was working with me. And I said, hey, are you coming with us? And he gave me this real serious face. And he called me over. And he says, now, David, like a real deep, godly voice, you know, like, I don't want to offend you or anyone, but I really feel like those people are not at my spiritual level. So I can't be seen with them. And frankly, I don't think you should be with them either. And I was like, wow. I did not know people like that existed. That was like the first time I was in reality check that there's real idiots out there. And he missed out on a great time. I had a great time that night. I don't know what he did. Did he go to the mountaintop to pray? I don't know. But listen. Sorry. But he missed out on a great time. Why? Because he was so concerned with other people's spiritual life that he would refuse to hang out with them because he was afraid to be seen by them. Some of us have allowed other people's life to dictate ours. I want to encourage someone here that feels like maybe God doesn't love you enough because of this person you're looking at. Or maybe it takes longer for you to get this Christian thing and to get this church thing. That's okay. You know, I'm glad to be a part of a church that doesn't put amounts of pressure on you to say you should have been Jesus by now. Sanctification is a process. And in each and every one of us, it will be different. This is why you cannot look at someone else's life and compare them. Some of us come to church in comparison. Well, this isn't like my old church. Well, you're not like my old pastor. I hear that all the time. And oh, well, they don't worship like my old church used to worship. And some of them, let me tell you that there's a lot of you missing out on what's happening here because you're still wrapped up in your old church. And I don't get it. But it hurts to say that a lot of us would come here and say, David, you're not like other pastors. Okay, I understand that. But do you let it affect you? You know, weekly I go to these meetings with every pastor in Dade County practically. And we always go out to lunch, and this is story time. Because every Tuesday we sit down and talk about our Sundays. And every pastor will talk about three things. Number one, how many people they had. Number two, what sermon they preached. And number three, what are you preaching next week? That's the conversation. It goes around the table. I hate that time. Because I don't, well, especially this week, because they all go around and they all start saying, oh, I had this many people and I had this and this happened. And man, you can be like, man, what's wrong with my church? I don't say that about you guys, but you can say like, what's wrong with me, you know? But then when there were, the question was coming around me, and I went, oh my gosh, what did they ask me what I preach about? And I played with Barbies. Oh no. And I started freaking out. I started doing that because last week we played with Barbies here. And I didn't want to tell them, you know. But it's so sad that we have to sit and compare notes and compare churches and compare this and compare that only to leave discouraged. Don't tell people what you've accomplished. It doesn't help them. We sit there and we tell people in order to be compared because we love ourselves. Listen, that's not what God was about. Jesus didn't come to earth to raise the bar and say, you need to be like me. No, he says, you're down at the bottom, but through me, you will be on top. And a lot of us are just drawing this comparison. Do you know how often I would look at other pastors and feel bad about myself? Because I know I'm not like other, I'm young and this and that. Let me explain to you something. Just this morning, I forgot to wear a sock. I wore one sock this morning. I came to church and I was praying with David. And as I did this, I noticed that there was bare skin and a sock. How does that happen? Maybe stress, whatever. Can I tell you something? David and I got a Sharpie and made a sock. You didn't notice, did you? But that's how different we are. My mom is like, no, you didn't. Like, I'm sorry, Mom. But I guess my mom would kill me if I didn't have socks. So I said, oh, let's draw one. So yes, to tell you that we're different. So you can say, yeah, my pastor draws socks. Yeah, go ahead. Praise them. So on Tuesday, when they tell me how was church, I'm like, oh, I drew a sock. You know, it's going to be weird. But the reason I tell you this is because all of us are unique. All of us are different. You can close your mouth now. She's like, but I love who I am. And I'm not going to stand behind some pulpit and pretend to be like some other pastor. I'm going to be me because that's the best thing I know to do. You need to be you because you're the best you that can be. Stop drawing comparison. Because you're telling God he made a mistake with you when you begin to look at someone else. And God makes no mistakes. The worst area that gets affected when you draw comparison and don't mind your business is God's work in your life. Isn't it frustrating to see God bless someone else and not you? Amen? What happens when God blesses your enemy and not you? Huh? That happens all the time. What do you do when you see someone talking about how great God is in their life, but he's not so great in yours? Do you draw into comparison and let that get you down? I couldn't help but think about Lazarus when he died. And all the people were weeping. There was one thing that the people asked. Could not he that healed the blind man have prevented this from happening? The people saw their situation and they compared it to someone else's life and said, God, why did you heal that person? But you couldn't heal my friend. You see, when we draw comparison to what God is doing in someone else's life, rather than praising God for it, we look at God and say, what's wrong with you? Why did you do this for this person and not me? Why would you bless this person and not me? I thought about Joseph and his brothers. You realize there was a point in Joseph's story that there was peace in the home? You realize that. You don't read Joseph's story and say, oh, and he was in the well and he was dead. You know, none of that, none of that. You know, like, listen, you read the story of Joseph that first opens up with peace in the home. The brothers got along. They were out in the field. That's pretty nice. They got along. But when did strife happen? When the father put a robe of favor on Joseph and not the brother. And the brothers looked at themselves. They started comparing. And they said, wait a minute, why does dad bless Joseph and not me? And they couldn't mind their business. And they started comparing. And what happened? Bitterness came in. And the home was divided. When you allow comparison to dwell in your hearts, bitterness can settle. And that root of bitterness can cause a lot of evil. it can cause you to hate a person you shouldn't even hate. But because they're not like you and because they don't have what you have, you despise them. Some of us despise a person because God has blessed them and not you. And Joseph's home was shattered. Many homes are broken and many marriages are falling apart because they're allowing comparison to what they see at work, and they see that girl and they see that guy and then they come home to that, oh my gosh, you know, and they look at this and they look at that and they're comparing and they actually allow strife into their home. I thought about Gideon when God had a great calling for his life. What was the first thing Gideon did? Well, God, I'm not like this person over there and I'm not like that tribe, and he started comparing. And he almost lost the purpose that God had for him because he was comparing himself to other people. Can you imagine Abraham? Where at that age, he should have been a grandfather, but he wasn't even a dad yet. And some of you are like Abraham. The time is clicking, God, oh, I don't understand what you're doing. I'm waiting, and I look at other people, and they look like they have their lives settled, and everything looks great, and this person is married already, and I'm not, and this person has a child, and I can't. And you look at other people's homes, and other people's lives, and other people's business, and you look at God and think, surely, like Abraham said, I'm good as dead. Good for nothing. Why? Because he had his eyes on someone else's life. Think about all those stories and how they relate to your life. Are you looking at someone else's life and think for a second and look at yours and say, God, what are you doing in mine? God, why can't you make me like this person? Why can't I be as pretty as them or as successful as them? Why can't I be as talented as them? This is why Paul made it so clear that minding your own business should be your ambition. To mind your own business is to put a focus on yourself only. Not in a self-centered way at all, but to be concerned only within your own life. That's what Paul meant by that. You need to focus on yourself and not that or them. That's what Paul said. Are you getting this morning? Amen? Yeah? You getting it? Because a lot of us really feel bad about ourselves. And we're doing a lot to change and be like something we're not in order to feel love and acceptance. I do the student ministry here as well, and I hear things that kids are doing because they're comparing themselves to their friends. And there's a lot of young people that don't feel good about themselves. They feel like they're a failure. They feel like they're ugly. They feel like they're useless. And all this is because they're comparing themselves to someone else. Understand that God, if he would have wanted you to be that person, he could have done that. I always tell people I'm so awesome, God made two of me. That's why I'm a twin. But that's not true at all. We're completely, if you know me and Danny, we are opposites. We are different. Danny pretends to be me sometimes. People say, oh, Pastor, that was a great sermon. He goes, well, thank you very much. I don't understand. He does. And he won't correct it. And he goes, Dad, this is cool because when you want a day off, you can call me. I'm like, no, that's not good, you know. But we're so different. Even though we may look alike, we're different. Let me tell you that you are set apart from the womb according to God. In Jeremiah chapter 1, you were set apart from the womb. To be set apart, not to be a part of someone that you're not. God has designed you to be different for his glory. Not so that you can live on this earth and say, I need to be a carbon copy of this person and their spiritual walk and they, what they have and this and that. I have to be like them and act like them and talk to them and live like them. No. You need to look at God and say, who am I? That's who I need to be. And stop comparing your life, your family, your spouse, your children, your career. Stop comparing yourself and mind your business already. I want to share with you a story that I shared with our students a few months ago called The Two Shed. Let me start it with once upon a time. Can I do that? Once upon a time, there was a tool shed. There was a loud commotion in the tool shed. The tools were all fighting with each other. They can talk, okay, in my story. They were all fighting with each other. And as the handyman would walk by, he heard the conversation. And he heard the hammer bragging to all the tools why he was the best. The hammer said, "Listen, I come with a bang. And I'm strong. And I'm not like you, screwdriver." And the screwdriver was really offended. So the screwdriver saying, "How dare you, hammer?" And he started fighting with the hammer. "Don't you understand? You can never do what I do. I tighten things and I can loose things up. So yeah, I may not come with a bang, but you can never do what I do." This angered the shovel. The shovel stood up, said, "Both of you are wrong. I am the best. People dig me. Listen, I go deep. I'm deep. Hammer, you can never dig like I dig. Screwdriver, you can never do what I do." This angered the spatula. And he said, "Really?" And the screwdriver and the hammer and the shovel said, "Shouldn't you be in the kitchen?" And he said, "That doesn't matter. Because I heard what you were saying. And I got to tell you something, shovel and hammer and screwdriver. You can never be like me. I am the best. You see, I go down into the fire. I withstand heat. And I flip things around if I want to. Just like that. So you need to realize that I am the best." And on they all kept fighting and arguing. And the cutter came and he said, "Oh, how could you guys listen to me? Stop this arguing. I am the best. I can cut through anything. And I'm pretty sharp." So they were all fighting. And it broke up the peace in that tool shed. For days, they couldn't get along. For days, they were fighting. And they started listening to each other. And the screwdriver started feeling bad about himself because he started thinking, "Well, maybe the shovel is right. People don't dig me like they dig him." And they started just comparing each other. And they were angry. They were sad. They were depressed. All because of comparison. Finally, the handyman couldn't stand it anymore. So as he walked in, they all asked him, "Can you settle this? Who's the best?" And they all started giving reasons to why they were the best. But the handyman stopped them right there. "Yes, you're all different. Shovel, you are something to dig. And Mr. Screwdriver, you are pretty tight. And yes, Spatula, you're pretty hot. But listen to me. You're all different. But you all have this in common." They said, "What's that? I'm not like him. Oh, no, how dare. I'm like the Spatula. No." And they all started arguing again. They said, "No, listen. You all have one thing in common. Look behind you." And as they looked, they said, "Why do you have a handle? All of you have a handle. Because apart from me, you're useless. It doesn't matter how good you are, how talented you are. Without my hand on you, you have no purpose. I have designed each and every one of you for a unique purpose. And the reason you have a handle is to remind you that you need me." All of us are like that tool shed. And the church has become a tool shed. We're all competing. We're all bragging. We're all talking about each other. Your home has become the tool shed. You're all telling each other and comparing yourself. Your marriage is the tool shed. I don't know where your tool shed may be today. But understand that in each and every one of us, there's a handle because God handles each and every one of us different. Amen? And to look at someone and criticize them because they're not like you is ignorance. Because God has made them to do something that you will never be able to do. So don't be so discouraged when you're not like that person. Don't be so discouraged if you don't make the same amount of money as that person does. Don't be so discouraged if you're not at the spiritual level that that person is and you're there. Don't be discouraged if you're not as pretty or as smart or as anything. Because when God made you, He made you with a handle, saying, I have a purpose for you. Yes, you're different. Yes, you're not like this other person. But have you forgotten that you're unique? Have you forgotten that I've designed you for something else? I hope this message encourages you. And you realize that you don't have to be that other person. You don't have that other life. Sanctification is a process in each and every one of us. And it looks different. How many of you today will make the declaration to mind your own business already? Be concerned with what God is doing in your life and not in others. Be concerned and focus on yourself, your spiritual growth, your marriage, your spouse, your children. That's your business. You have no business comparing yourself to someone else. And if you're here this morning and you have compared your spouse to someone else, you need to repent of that sin. If you have compared your children to someone else, you need to repent. If you have compared yourself to someone else, we need to repent because we are telling God what you made is wrong. And you, God, are wrong. We need to repent today of comparison. If you're here and you have, for the past few months or years, been criticizing someone's spiritual life, you need to repent. Because you not God. With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, let's mind our business right now. Focus on your life. What area in your life have you been drawing comparison to? Where have you been feeling God made a mistake? Young girl who doesn't feel pretty enough. Young man who doesn't feel strong enough. Husband, wife. Stop comparing yourself to other wives saying, I wish I can love my husband like they do. Do something about it. For those who have a weak spiritual life, it's okay. Embrace where you are, thanking God that you're not where you used to be. But at least you have salvation. You're on the road to sanctification. You are who you are, and God wants it that way. And He will change. He will change what needs to change. But stop trying to change yourself to be someone you're not. Today is a special calling. All those who say, I need help minding my business. I'm so concerned. God, why did you do this for this person? And why did you bless that person? And why were you there for them and not me? And why did you fix them and not my marriage? And why did you fix this marriage and not mine? Why did you fix this child and not mine? Why is this child in church and mine is not? Listen, God is in control of your life. And if you're here and you see someone's spouse that's in church and yours is not, listen, He's in control of that. If you're here and you're looking at your life and there's no one next to you because you're single, it's okay. He's in control of that. But stop comparing yourself and your life to someone else and put the focus back on yourself. And mind your business. If this is your prayer today, and your prayer is, Lord, today, I repent of my sin of comparison. And today I stand to be who I am in your your hands. This is your prayer. Would you slip your hand up as a testimony that you are going to be who you are? God bless you and you here today. All you here in the room today. God bless you. I'll pray this from your heart if you honestly mean it. Lord Jesus, I am who I am. Thank you for who I am. Thank God for who you are. Today, Lord, I boldly confess that you created me in the womb with a purpose and a plan. And today, Lord, I accept that. I accept your creation called me. And today, Lord, I will not compare myself to any other person. If you need to name that person you've been comparing yourself to. And today, Lord, I stand up to be me. In Jesus' name. We all stand to your feet where you're at as we worship here in truth today. If you're here this morning in need of prayer, I'll be up here with you. But let's embrace ourselves and embrace our Creator. In Jesus' name. Do you love Him? Because He loves you. He created you. Someone here today looks at themselves and says, I hate who I am. Look at your past, your mistakes, and you think, well, I'm not like this person. They have it all together. I want you to leave this place today knowing that who you are is who God wants you to be. And God will change the things in your life He doesn't approve of. But don't let anything hinder you. Spiritual walk with the Lord. Some of us hate ourselves so much that we don't even bother drawing near to God because we truly fear that He doesn't want to draw near to us. Be who you are. Would you grab the hand of that person next to you this morning? You pray for them right now. Maybe you know them, maybe you don't. Let's take a moment to pray for each other here. If you're holding the hand of someone you love, you thank God for them. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this service. God, thank you for making us who we are. Lord, I pray that you would forgive us for the times that we compare. For the times that people compare us to others and we let their words just affect us. Father, I pray for every family here that comparison leave the home. For every marriage that comparison get out. I pray for this church, Lord, that comparison get out. I pray for each and every one of us here today, Lord, that we would focus on ourselves and that we would mind our business. God, I would humbly pray that we stop questioning why you're doing something in that person's life and not ours. And we embrace where we are right now. In Jesus' name, amen.